some good stuff. So anybody have any questions? Of anything that's been said or questions you had on your own about healing ministry?
I will have to get home.
Huh? Have to get home? If you ask us something after you get home, we will not respond. Yeah. And once you leave, we no longer have any obligation for you whatsoever. Yes, I would love you, but I wouldn't respond to you. I'll be off to the next adventure. No questions, anybody? Aaron has a question.
It's no longer our life in Christ.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Does that happen automatically, or is there some way that we come to know what His will is for our life?
So, somebody want to answer that question?
I think it's both. I mean, it's all, it's given automatically. It's got it from the
right. It's a relationship. So you have to always remember the transcendence of Christ and the immanence of Christ, meaning that Christ is my life, but it happens in the context of He and I being other from each other. There's a relationship. And so there's always choices that I have to make to appropriate that. And those choices are always involved two simple things. Obedience to God's known will. You say, well, what if it's something I don't know? Then just do what's next. And you do it in faith. Because it's faith that appropriates the grace of God. So that old song, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Yielded, the term that used to be used was abandonment to God's will and confidence in His grace. But it's a choice. And so there is... And Jesus said in John 14, when they were asking Him to show, show us the Father. And Jesus said, if I've been with you so long, you would ask me, show us the Father. Don't you know that when you've seen me, you've seen the Father? He said, don't you know that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me and the works that I do, the Father does through me? That's an interesting statement because Jesus was not the Father. But He said, how can you say, show us the Father, when you see me, you see the Father? What He did was He experienced and exhibited, displayed the life of the Father because Jesus lived in absolute surrender and He lived a life of faith. He was the author and the perfecter of a life of faith. And so He and the Father, there's union, but they're two separate persons. And so He had a personal relationship. He talked to His Father. He prayed to His Father. He communicated with His Father. And yet His Father was present in Him. Prepared and living His life in Him and through Him as long as Jesus lived with an attitude, not a crisis. There is a starting place where you get it and you enter into it, but the attitude of surrender and faith. Does that help? Nothing automatic. It's a choice. That's what makes it a relationship. Yes, Margaret? Mm-hmm. In terms of asking them? Well, if you're dealing with issues like cancer, except for the symptoms they may be feeling, you don't know. They won't know until over a period of time they go get checked out. They feel, hey, I'm feeling better. In that moment, I may say, I'm feeling better, but that just may be emotional. But if it's shoulders, we get people involved. When we prayed, in Brazil be an example, we would give like words of knowledge about knees or whatever. I mean, all kinds of stuff. I had a list of words of knowledge that God would give me beforehand. And we got all the people around them to pray for them. And they would ask the questions. We'd have our team leaders make sure it's all working. But they just got them involved, people involved, and say, well, ask them how they're feeling. And they go, it's gone. Or it's better. So, well, let's pray again. And so those places that were really rare, when they would say, it's better, but it's not gone, and yet we were running out of time, we would go, well, what I did, I carried a pocket full of little pieces of cloth that were covered. Remember, and I'd get all and said, I'll just use this. And we've seen that, it's biblical. Acts 19, seen real healing that way. But we just took the time to ask questions. That's why we were eating dinner at 1 o'clock in the morning, because we weren't getting through after 11 in terms of praying. The other way we've done it in the past, which takes longer and wears you out, is that we didn't do words of knowledge. We just stood in line. People divided up, and you just stood and prayed. Every team member was there asking questions. And it just got overwhelming because there were just so many people that actually what happened with me was I was swam every day. So I would stay strong and have energy. To the point, what happens often with me, didn't happen the last trip to Africa or two. I was ready. I was tired. But like the last night, we were praying until like 11:30. I could have prayed 4 more hours. It was, you know, and so, but I was supposed to go swimming, and I went to go swimming, and as I was going to go swimming, the guy's putting the chlorine in the pool. So being the godly person I was, I complained all the way back to my little room, and trust and obey. I was not yielded. And the Lord said, well, I want to spend some time with you. So I got and spent some time with him. He started talking to me. We were going to do an afternoon. It was going to be 4 hours of ministry on a Saturday afternoon. He said, you need to start using words of knowledge. And you know, I've done it a lot over my lifetime. I thought, I'm so thick. I'd have never heard that if a guy hadn't have been. If it had been 5 minutes later putting that stuff in the pool, he wouldn't have. He'd have waited on me, and I'd have never heard. And from that point forward, we did that, and it just made it easier. We got to more people that way. And we got people involved, which was important. We didn't want to just pray for the sick and see them get healed. We talked about, in the teachings, what we're talking about here, we talked about just the life of Christ, the abiding in Christ. And then we said, oh yeah, and part of what he does is heal. Because we wanted them to how to walk out something. We wanted their life to change, not just the nature of their ministry to change. And so we would just remind them, hey, you got all grace. We just got through talking about it. You've got the grace to pray for the sick, the grace of his ability to heal the sick. And we would just get them involved. And to the point where, I think I shared this, but when we came home, like last week, one of the main young priests who's really going to be leading the way in the years to come, Father Yvonne, he wrote us a letter, or wrote us a note, and said that he took a team of people to a place far away from where we were, Petrolina, and many people got healed and many people got filled with the Holy Spirit. So they didn't just experience it, they caught it and they were giving it away. And that's what we're excited, that's what I'm excited about. Because they'll change a nation. Yeah. You have that look on your face. Was that a good answer for that you were asking, Aaron, about how, what, about stewarding the life of Christ? I'm going back to what you asked me, okay? You know, here's the deal. We talked about this last week at our Y'all Summit. We want to make Christianity so difficult. It is so simple. If you have right now all grace, so whatever the situation you're facing, and that's in the person of Jesus, then you thank him for it right now and go act like it's true. And he'll back up his act. What you take, he undertakes. But in terms of the will of God, all you can do is his known will. And then people ask me that question. It's a legitimate question. Like, well, what if I'm not sure? Do what comes next. We make it too complicated, too mystical, too hard. Just do what comes next. Like, brush your teeth and say hello to your wife and work in the garden and do it all by faith, thanking him for the grace to do those things. And just do what comes next. And always what I used to like to teach about Mary, and it says that In Luke chapter 1, and the Holy Spirit said that the power of God will overshadow you. And the thing that comes forth from you will be called the Son of the Living God. It'll be God. And she said, nothing is impossible to him. Because she asked the question, how? Not why. I mean, how could she get pregnant when she'd never been with a man? So she didn't say, why? This is going to ruin my future and my reputation. She just said, how? And he said, well, the Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you. Your weaknesses, your inability is an issue. And said, therefore, what's going to come forth is going to be called by his name. For nothing is impossible to God. And so her response was, be it done to me according to your word. And so here's what I believe. This thing works out in our life. As Mary was hugging the toilet, as she approached her second trimester, she was doing it by faith. You just do what comes next. Now, maybe she didn't have any of those issues, but I don't think so. I think she was a person who lived by faith. Does that help? Yes, sir? Right. I mean, most of the time that's true, but a lot of times you're living life and something comes out and you don't have time to go get your Bible or call your priest. And that's what I do. I just let go. And then just go whatever way they went. No, I don't. And no. I trust that knower in me. The peace of God rules in your heart. I trust those things. But I'm not, I don't do things. I'd rather be slow about God's business than fast about the devil's. And most of the time, if you're in a mental hurry, you're in a position of getting deceived. So you just slow down. And but, you know, you get... That's one of the values of the Word of God. The more you're filled with God's Word, Jesus is never going to do anything that would contradict His Word. Period. You know? And I'll have charismatics do this all the time. They'll go, well, I just really sense God said to do it. I said, no, he didn't. Because he can't contradict himself. God's not a liar. It says really clearly, you can't marry this unbeliever. I don't care how you feel. I care, but that's irrelevant. You know? God's word. So, most of the time, but when I was a young believer, he was just faithful. You just kind of know. I mean, it's just kind of like a baby that's getting just old enough to walk. And you just have this, so they're walking, and my little boy started walking. I didn't want to fall and hit their head. So they didn't necessarily see me, but man, I was right there making sure. And that's what it's like. He's just right there making sure. That's grace too. All grace. You know? And you, if your heart's rebellious and you want something, you don't care what anybody says, you know that. You know. Right? We know. You love that statement. People say, well, it's easier to get forgiveness than permission. Yeah, there's pretty terrible consequences that come with that. and the scripture makes really clear that if you want to do his will, he'll make his will. You have to work really hard to miss it. It's simple. And let me just say this to you again. The Christian life is simple. The life of faith is simple. And what we do is, I haven't taught this group this, but let me, you might have a smartphone, an iPhone or something. Okay. Think of this as Jesus. And when you become a Christian, you get one. And when iPhone first came out, what made them so unique, some of the features, but what made them unique were the apps. And if you remember the commercials at all, they would have somebody usually in downtown New York going, I'm really hungry for Hungarian food. And they'd go, we've got an app for that. And so I really like to know how to get to Penn Station. We've got an app for that. And we go through five or six times, you'd think, that would be so cool. And some of those apps were free, and some of them cost you something. But I think iPhone has like a million apps now. So just think if all the apps were free and they're just standard equipment for every phone. And so when you get an iPhone, you get all the apps. Let's just think of the apps as the functions of the phone. You can't separate them from the phone. It's what makes the phone the phone. It's all the things the phone does, and because they're free, it's all the things the phone does for free. Grace. And so how do I know God's will? There's an app for that. You know, How do I pray for the sick? There's an app for that. And so you just imagine anything in the Christian. I just need the peace of God. There's an app for that. It's all part of who Jesus is. It's all for free, and it comes with a standard equipment that comes when you get one of these. So how do you use the apps? Real simple. Every one of them works the same way, by faith. Every one of them. As I've come into my 60s, my role in life is to make Christianity as simple as possible. Because it is as simple as it's unimaginably simple. But everybody's going after the deep things. And what you're going to find is that the deeper you get, the more childlike you become. When you get done with coming deep, you come out going, oh my gosh, trust and obey. Well, there's no... Well, how do you exercise faith? How'd you get saved? Same faith. Everything in Christian life works the same way. You just received and said thank you. Started celebrating. It's really not hard. No. There's an app for that. And I found that to be a good way to, especially our contemporary world, everybody has these gadgets, and they'll go, I don't know how to love this person. I'll just say, there's an app for that. Why don't you just thank him for the grace to love that person? The grace is the free gift of his ability. Not your ability, his ability. Remember yesterday? Soon as the Lord told Abraham and Sarah they're going to have a child, even though she was barren, he was too old. You know, there was an app for that. The moment he said it, he gave them the ability to do it, but they didn't experience it until they believed it. They had to take. And what we take, he undertakes. Or he takes over. Now the question, we'll just do this part, then I'll give Dan and Deborah 5 or 6 minutes. No. Other questions about any of this? We're going to give you a little thing to look at and work with tonight. Something really simple, very childlike, but I think it'll be a blessing to you. Even Margaret, even people at Christ King have not seen this. So it was a very childlike thing, but I think it's really cool. It'll be helpful. Because you see, I'm more concerned that you get a life down. Then all the parts are coming. Like if you don't have the wheel, all the spokes are irrelevant. And if we focus on the spokes and healing is one of the spokes, if all we talk about is one of the apps, but it's the phone. It's Jesus. Christ is all. And then everything else has a... Then we learn, oh, there's an app for that. So this conference should have been called, There's an App for Healing. Because that is what it is. It's not the most important thing in the world, but it's important in this world. Right? He's the most important thing. And whatever you go home and face today, there's an app for that. You just thank him for it. Don't ask him for it. You don't need to call iPhone and say, I'd like to have this app. They go, you got all the apps. No, but I want this one. You got all the apps, the standard equipment, the moment you got the phone. And oh, by the way, you got the phone for free too. It's all for free. What else? You go right ahead. That's okay. They're not doing really well, Margaret. You go ahead and ask questions. Right. No. Well, the thing is that, there are things that we do sometimes. We procrastinate and we go, man, Lord, I blew it. I'm procrastinated. There's an app for that, too. It's called the Grace of Forgiveness. But I didn't blow it. I didn't know anybody was going to do the pool. I could have gone any time. And so when I got there, and the first thought was, man, if I'd have come a few minutes early, but I didn't feel guilty about it. I was just frustrated I couldn't swim. And on the way back to the room, I repented. It's okay, Lord. My times are in your hands. The government of my life rests on your shoulders, not mine. And so what's the deal? I guess we'll just go back and rest. So I went back, I literally went back and lay down to rest, and the Lord began to speak. He said, I want to tell you something about how to do these next sessions. And it carried a greater anointing. So, key to the Christian life, you just got to restfully move forward. Just go nice and slow, trusting Him. That's why it's so hard for Yankees to walk in the Spirit. Because they're always in a hurry, looking at their phone, reading stats, texting other people, getting scores. No. I just happened to be looking at him at that particular time. What else? It's fun to ask questions. Well, the other thing I think too is that if your heart's to do His will and you mess it up, it's not the end of the world. So what? He knows. Remember what we used to say all the time, Margaret? We always forget what God remembers and we remember what God forgets. We remember our sins and God forgets them. We forget that we're but dust, but God never stops remembering that. We're but dust, it says. And so, He just cares. I remember that place in Song of Solomon where it talks about dancing, the dance of heaven and earth. And this is amazing scripture. It has been for me over the years. It says, talks about the dance of two companies, the last part of verse 13 of Song of Solomon 6. Then it says, how beautiful are your feet or your steps in sandals, O prince's daughters. And when they wore sandals, they would wash each other's feet when you go into a house. And so just the context here, he just talks about the dance of heaven and earth. And that's what the Christian walk is like, this dance with Jesus. And He leads. And He said, how beautiful are your feet, are just your steps. The fact that you're stepping, the fact that in sincerity you're dancing, even though you're in sandals and they get dirty, I'm just thrilled that you're going for it. And so this whole performance thing that we give into, we think somehow if we mess up a little bit or this kind of thing, we're out. We're kind of out. It's just not like that at all. When my kids first started walking, I was there and I'd say, now do this. Or they first started riding a bike or whatever. And if they fell over or whatever, I didn't scream at them. I just said, I'm so proud of them for going for it. Now get up and let's do this. You know, again, when Peter walked in the water and he sank and he got back up and he got near the boat and Jesus said, oh, you little of faith. But we take that to mean he was just being nasty. I think he was encouraging him. He said, why did you doubt? But when he stepped back into the boat where the 11 didn't even go for it, he said, your hearts are hardened. Peter's wasn't. He had faith. It may have been little, but God can work with little faith, you know. He's not near. Here's the thing about the Lord. He's not near as hard to get along with as we are. You know? We think He's some kind of sort of grouchy perfectionist. But it says He delights, Micah 7:18, in unending love. He delights in loving you. And He doesn't wait till you get it right to enjoy you. He just enjoys you, and He's really proud of you that you're wanting to get it right. So He celebrates your dance steps, even if it's in sandals and your feet get dirty. You know, God, He's a big boy. When Jesus was washing their feet and Peter wouldn't let Him, because he couldn't deal with what He was trying to say. It's so hard for us to let God love us because we have such a hard time with ourselves. Most of us live with such disappointment ourselves, we have a hard time letting God love us. And so Jesus said, if you don't let me wash your feet, you have no part with me. He didn't say in me. He said with me. You can't participate in all that I'm doing. And he said, all of you are already clean. You've all had a bath except for one. Talking about Judas, he said, just sometimes you need your feet clean because you walk in a fallen world. And the thing I love about that, it wasn't dirty feet. Jesus didn't say your dirty feet are going to keep you from walking in fellowship with me. He says your unwillingness to let me wash your dirty feet. That's a world of difference. He anticipates. 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's there because he anticipates you're going to need it. You know? So you do have to understand, God doesn't live with the kind of disappointment in you that you live with about you. He delights in loving you. He's not ticked off about it. Man, what did I sign up for when I got hold of that guy? Yeah. What was it again? Tell me again, Karen.
Things connected, whether it might be forgiveness issues or inner healing or other things that you have to deal with if you're going to get to the healing.
Right. And they'll talk about it. One thing I would say to you, there are things as years go by you learn, but Christianity isn't something you can memorize. It's a relationship. And so that's why the app to discern. And to step out trusting that. Like, well, Bishop, like if you're talking to somebody and there's an issue and there's something behind what's going on, you pray for them, and there are some things you learn, like if we've talked before, like if things are moving around, that's usually a spirit of affliction. You know, and so if I'm not sure, I'd pray for that anyway, because it didn't hurt before I pray for the other thing. But if there's something like God may say, not always, but there are certain times when you have real arthritic issues, there's unforgiveness. That's a principle. There are principles you can learn, but a lot of times you're just like going, there's just this thought that comes to your head, and it sounds a lot like your thought. It says, there's some immorality going on in this person's life, and so you like go, is there a relationship going on? It's not really clean, holy kind of thing. And if they go, no, you go, I either not coming clean or I missed it, and so he delights in my steps. You see. But more times than not, they're going to go, well, yeah. And I go, are you willing to let that go? Because in your situation, their healing can be connected to it. But like the guy with AIDS, y'all, he didn't repent. All four of them had AIDS. Do y'all remember seeing them? They were like somebody, they were like all, looked like they were starving to death and limping around and just, I thought, wow, you know, his name was Jefferson. And the Holy Spirit said they got AIDS, and I just didn't pay attention. I just thought that was my thought. And but I prayed for him, and he got healed, and I never saw him again. I thought, why didn't these people come back and give testimony? They were crying when they left. And the Lord said, I told you they had AIDS. Oh, that is so cool, Lord. You didn't wait for this guy to get his act together to heal him. You know? But there are some people that are more responsible for God than others, and sometimes he'll tell you something like that, you know? But let me just give this to you. And I've said it, but let me just read this to you. This is from John. This amazing, amazing, magnificent gospel, John. Now, we know we live to give glory to God. We know that God lives to give glory to you. Do you know that? He likes to glory in you. When you love somebody, you live to do that. You love to praise the person that you love, right? He said, how can you believe when you receive glory from one another? In other words, if you're getting applause and praise from one another, you can't walk in faith because you're too worried about what they're going to think. You're not going to go for it. He says, how can you believe when you receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that is from God? Not for God, but that is from God, the one and only God. And so part of what you got to do is be willing to go for it and say, Lord, what's most important to me is that you're pleased with me. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, my one ambition is to be pleasing to Him. And so if my attitude of my heart isn't about building myself up or building my own ministry or looking good or all that kind of stuff, I just want to go for it, you know, and for Him. And I miss it. It may make me look bad. Doesn't make God look bad. But what I'm going to still receive is glory from God. He was pleased with me because that which is not of faith is sin. And yeah, Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please God. And so long as I'm walking in faith and in love, He's pleased. And I can live with that. I'm not afraid to fail in that because I know that God's pleased. And it's in that attitude you learn, you grow, you learn how to hear better. You're not always introspective and kicking yourself because that's not what He's about. And does that make sense? And so when I hear those things cross my mind, I'll go, okay, the thing is I've learned how to deliver it in wisdom. You know, you don't look at the person, you're having sex with somebody you're not supposed to be having sex with. I mean, that's just ignorant. That's not who Christ is. That's not how He lives. And you say, well, yeah, but that's kind of my personality. There's an app for that. You with me? Personality type is not an excuse for sin. I've had more artsy people somehow think the rules are different for them. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. And I can't tell you how many Christians I've been with in restaurants and places, and they've been impatient with the person behind the counter or impatient with the waiter, or they're in line to get something, they're impatient and they're rude. Love is not rude. And don't use the excuse where you're from. The rules aren't different from Yankees or Southerners or your profession or your personality type. It's the same. There's an app for all that. But you can't use the app as long as you excuse it. They're not just normal behavior for me. I'm just the way I am. I'm just rude sometimes. Well, Jesus isn't. Ever. Ever. And I don't care what you see in front of you. I don't care how they're dealing with you. I don't care how they're treating you. That's not an excuse for sin. And if it doesn't look like Jesus, it's sin. And the fruit of the Spirit helps describe how Jesus' personality is manifested. In my weakness, the strength is made perfect. Love is not rude. Never. Doesn't take into account a wrong suffered. Ever. Love is patient. Always. Love is kind. So if you're saying something to the waiter, and being French isn't an excuse either, is it, Young? Who are the rudest people I've ever met in my entire life? I'm not saying Young is rude. She's never rude. I'm just saying that I was calling her forth having been raised in Paris. Parisians should all be tortured for about 5 years until they have in a better mood or something. I've had French people be so ugly to me in travel. I'm thinking, I said, you ought to buy a bumper sticker that just says, well, I can't help it, I'm French. And so.
I saw a t-shirt that he wants to buy that says, pray for me, I'm married to a French.
I loved it back in the 90s, the first Gulf War, when it had all this coalition, but the French refused to help the Allies. And French's mustard started losing a lot of money. And they had a commercial that they played for about a month. They finally took it off. I think people in France were going to sue them. The government says, it says, we may be French and we may be yellow, but we were made in the United States. That's my favorite thing. But you understand, guys, gals, this is the deal. There's never an excuse. I've seen Christian leaders do it. I think it's part of their leadership anointing. I said, no, it's part of the things that disqualifies you from being a leader. Leadership doesn't mean you're in control and you're making decisions. It means you're being the chief example of Christ-likeness. Just amazes me. And I've been in places where some of the most well-known, powerful leaders were just ugly to waiters and waitresses. I'm going, you know, if you don't know how to, this is what I'm trying to tell you. If you don't know how to experience in you and through the fullness of Christ, I don't care what kind of app you've focused on, you're going to end up discrediting the whole thing by your attitude and your actions, right? It's not about winning. It's about loving. Anything else? We'll do one more. And we'll let these giants of the faith, Dan and Deborah Witt, come. Anything else? One more? One more question? Okay. I think prophecy and healing ministry is, you have to be super sensitive in those places. You know, because it makes people feel really vulnerable, and you again, like I said yesterday, you know, you just got to, if you think you're getting a word for somebody, you just, you know, don't go and say, well, God's told me. No, just say, hey, look, is there something going on in your life? You know, love is kind. It's gentle. And so if that's not the way you like to behave, you don't know, you don't want to go on a trip with me because it doesn't wash. There are no excuses. That's the good news and the bad news. If you have all grace, so that you have all sufficiency always in everything, you never have to fall again. Though you will. The other problem, though, is there's no more excuses. No more excuses. And like you said this weekend, again, this is, I think, so important. Christians don't fail because of weaknesses. They fail because of unbelief. Because there's an app for that. And you just simply chose not to believe and receive. We're all weak. You know? Yeah, but my tendency is, I understand. Just like Peter's tendency to sink. But there's one who lives in you whose whole purpose is to overcome your tendency to sink. He's got to walk in faith. What did he say to Peter? Oh, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? You didn't sink because you're weak. The first time you stepped out, you were weak. We've already settled that. You know, you've heard me say this for years and years. I had an inferiority complex. When I got set free, I realized it wasn't a complex at all. I actually was inferior. But not in Christ. I can do all things through Christ. So get over yourself. Get over figuring out you can't do it, and you're a mess. Jesus didn't die on the cross for people who had it together. He died for a bunch of messes. And you were born morally, mentally, spiritually, relationally weak. Period. There's an app for all that. Okay? All righty.